This is the Fire and Emergency Services Committee special meeting for Tuesday, May 14th, and we are convening at 5:37 p.m. General Manager, could you call the roll?
Yes. Director, Vice President Lawson.
Present.
Director Mason.
Present.
Okay, public testimony will be received on each agenda item as it is called. Principal party on each side of an issue, which we don't have any, is allocated 10 minutes to speak, other than Chief Blankenheim. Individual comments are limited to 3 minutes, except with the consent of the committee. Individuals should be allowed to speak on an item only once. Members of the audience are asked to volunteer their name before addressing the committee. The committee reserves the right to waive said rules by a majority vote. Okay. Having said that, do you have any questions about the agenda or concerns?
No questions on the agenda. The only thing I would change is there is not, at least online, there is not posted a conformed agenda. It's not included in the agenda, so I don't know if there was one that was actually printed, or if so, we would then remove that because it's not an action item. The other piece simply being clarification for public who are here, who are not normally part of our meetings. That special meeting simply means we rescheduled the regularly scheduled meeting from last week. But it's the normal agenda and items that we go after tonight. So that's all.
Okay. Was there any public comment regarding the agenda?
Yes, Brad McMullen, Cameron Park. So based on what you just said, then this would be considered a normal meeting, correct? And if that's the case, 24-hour notice was violated.
No.
Special meetings are 24-hour notice.
That's right.
And this is not a special meeting, because he just stated that this was the normal meeting just rescheduled.
Clarification, okay. Once you reschedule a normal meeting, it becomes a special meeting.
Just a matter of law.
I was simply clarifying what happens in here. It wasn't called special because it's something out of the ordinary, but it is classified as a special meeting because the regular meeting was canceled. So, yes, that is the proper language. It was more for explanation of the public who aren't normally here.
That's good. My first comment is I'd like a status of the AP Triton report because there's been no information coming out. And then, Mr. Gardner, you and I had a discussion after the April 17th meeting regarding comments you made of fire service levels, and your statement to me was that that information was given to you incorrectly. I've kind of been waiting for a public clarification and a retraction from your public comment that the fire service levels have changed. So I think the public is looking for some acknowledgement that that information that you said at the meeting was incorrect and it need be corrected. That's all I have. Thanks. I know you don't. I can refresh your memory if you'd like.
Yeah, if you could get with him after the meeting.
You're fine.
Thank you. Okay, was there any other public comment regarding the agenda? All right, do we have a motion?
I move to adopt the agenda as written with the recognition there is no conformed agenda to be approved tonight.
Second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we don't have a conformed agenda, so moving forward to open forum, do we have any comments from the public regarding any items that are not on the agenda? Yes.
Hi, Vicki Jacobs. I'd like to follow up with what Brad said. If we could get an update on the Triton report and where the status is, do you have the first draft of it back to you guys yet or not? Did it go back then to Triton to be corrected according to what you reviewed? Do you have it at all? Is it what's holding it up? When do we expect to see it in terms of the release to the public, all of that good stuff? That would be really appreciated. It's the middle of May now. Mm-hmm. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Was there any other public comment? Okay. Moving on to department matters. We were going to have a discussion on the CAL FIRE contract, and I believe Chief Blankenheim had a presentation or some information to present. Is that correct?
I'm come ready to have a good discussion on the CAL FIRE contract, but I don't have a presentation.
Okay.
So I'd be more than happy to answer questions, or if you have things that you'd like me to explain or those kind of things, I'd be more than happy to do those things. Not a structured presentation.
Okay, thank you. So did you have any questions on the...
No, I think just for our opening up the discussion, as a reminder that the reason we asked this to come forward is it's time for us to address our CAL FIRE contract. We need to give at least a year notice, and we're coming up on that at the end of June as to whether we end the agreement or extend it. So we asked staff to bring forward information on what it would be for costs in years 25, 26, and beyond to be able to extend the contract, which Chief Blankenheim and Chief Martin, who could not be here tonight, were able to do. So this feeds into the discussion both for committee and board as well as public awareness to recognize we're revisiting conversations and considerations from last year when we created the new contract, extended what we had. We were looking at a $500,000 deficit and how that impacted both our general fund, our operating, and future fire service. So part of the reason this came forward is for us to be able to look at it again and see, can we keep both stations open? How does that fit with the upcoming budget, et cetera? So, Chief Blankenheim, just to clarify both for the committee as well as any of the public, what we've got here is the very simple spreadsheet costs, and we had asked you to look at what it would cost for just Station 89 as well as Station 88 and 89 together. And so that's the one-engine, two-engine model, correct?
Yep, and I can explain this real quick if I may just give a quick explanation on the table here. So, yeah, the fiscal year is self-explanatory, 25, 26, 26, 27, and 27, 28. So there's two columns that are one-engine and two engines. The one-engine model would be if it was necessary to shut down Station 88, that would be the cost of staffing just Station 89. And what we talked about in the past would be we would no longer do it with two bodies on the engines. We do it with three, so 3-0 staff model. And three people per seat. So that would be a total of 9 people assigned to the engine and one battalion chief to kind of oversee the program. So a total of 10 people in the agreement. Two engines, that would be if we're going to keep Station 88 open. The discussion around that was if we're going to staff both stations, both engines, that we would stay with our 2-0 staffing model, meaning 2 people on the engine every day, but still 3 people assigned to each seat. So with that, that would be a total of 12 people assigned for the two engines, and again, the one battalion chief. And the costs are all-inclusive. That's admin costs and all those kind of things written in there. I do got to say this. We talked about this before, but these are estimates moving forward. We won't know exact figures and that kind of thing until the state releases the staff benefit rate next January, February, or something along those lines. So we're not going to have actual numbers, like invoiceable, do not exceed about numbers until you get to January of next year. So these are our cost estimates going through our cooperative fire program on what this might look like or would very likely look like moving forward. So these numbers are going to be close, but they're not going to be the exact amount on an agreement. If it shows, if we go that route and we do extend the agreement, they'll be slightly different than this because these are estimates.
So the contract we might sign that, let's say if we do it even just 2 of these 3 years, if we did 2 engines and it's 3.754 and 3.941, those are estimates that would be in the contract but subject to change based on numbers that come from the state next year.
Correct. Correct on that. And just so everybody knows, those are still do not exceed amounts. And our methodology for building out the agreement is the way we've done with all previous estimates. Is we build it as high as we can. I mean, we put top step employees in there with maximum longevity, maximum benefits, and all of those kind of things. We want that do not exceed amount to be as high as we can because we don't want we want you to know the full scope of what it could be, but understanding that we want to leave some room in there, too, to make sure we've got room to come in under that and that kind of thing. So these are top step amounts, but estimates.
Right. And the biggest possible, but the aim being to come in under that because you don't staff every position at every high level. Right?
All those things, correct. Yeah.
Yes?
Order of magnitude possible difference.
That was going to be my next question. Is there any... You might not be able to answer it. Is there any kind of expected or projected variance range that you mean? 5%, 10%, I don't, 3%?
So our standard methodology, and it's not super complicated by any stretch of the imagination, is 5% escalators across years,
right.
And that's how we get the estimate. So There's going to be an anomaly for, what are we coming up on, 24, 25, in a good way.
This next year.
I don't quite understand all the math behind this, but the state of California this year paid down a big chunk of the state's PERS liability, and that reduced the staff benefit rate for next fiscal year by almost 20%. So I don't want to change the theory of those kind of things, but our costs should be fairly cheap next fiscal year, which is a good thing. So we didn't use next fiscal year to base these estimates on. We used this fiscal year because the staff benefit rate was still around 90% this fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
So we just started adding 5% to get through these years here too. Again, so back to these are as high as we could get these numbers. So I think that, I don't know if that's answered your question or not.
No, that does. And I was actually going to ask that because that 25-26 number isn't what I expected above this year, let alone next year. So it sounds like next year is actually going to come in under this year. Is that what you're saying? Meaning the not to exceed?
I don't want to change the do not exceed amount because we're already in agreement. I don't want to write into agreement. So we'll
right.
Do not exceed amount
right.
The same.
But
actual costs should be cheaper than they've been in the past.
Okay.
Not counting like salary saved positions, vacant positions across the board. If we have every position filled, it should be cheaper next year than it would be if we had every position filled this year or the year following.
Okay. And that's a helpful piece, at least in this
time period, because... It's a snapshot in time. It's a one-year thing. It's not for the life of the agreement or any of those kind of things. It's a one-time deal with the state budget.
Okay. So the two-engine model is obvious. We just status quo, keep moving forward, both stations.
Yep.
What are the other considerations, and I know we'll repeat this when it comes to the board next week, but what are the other considerations should the board say, we can afford the one engine, there's still a deficit on two if they decide to close the 88, what are the other considerations we need to remember, keeping just 89 open?
So, it's not something we can put a black and white number on. It's going to be this effect on response time. What it's going to be is the way the system in Eldorado County works, and we've talked about this before, is a boundary drop closest resource system, meaning that all agencies agree that we cross boundaries and all those kind of things to get the closest resource to any emergency whenever it happens. And that means auto aid and mutual aid are provided daily between districts. And Cameron Park is very much a part of that. Station 88 is very much a part of that. So if you remove a single resource from the system anywhere, that hole is going to be filled by other resources in the system. So we are not going to go without fire protection on the north end of town if Station 88 ends up getting closed. But there are going to be some system impacts. We can look at it very simply as the person that lives right next door to Station 88. If he had an emergency, his response time now is going to be 5 or 6 or 7 minutes as opposed to the 10 seconds. That's kind of an extreme example because it's right there. So as you get further away from Station 88, the response time difference is going to get less and less because they're going to get closer to another fire station. So it's not a very scientific way of looking at it, but it's kind of the way it is. I think some of the impacts that I think we really should be talking about are the system impacts. The Station 88, if Station 88 was not there, the engine not there, it's either going to be Station 89, Station 86, or Station 83 that's going to be filling those calls, kind of depending on who's available and where they're at.
And for clarification for a public station, can you locate those?
Yeah, so Station 86 is on Bass Lake Road and it's an Eldorado Hills station. Station 28 is on Ponderosa Road at the top of Meter there, and it belongs to Eldorado County Fire Protection District. Station 83 is in Rescue, and it belongs to the Rescue Fire Department.
Thank you.
No issues with those engines providing service and all those kind of things, but if those engines come into Cameron Park more, there's going to be vacancies in those districts that will be filled by somebody else. So there are some trickle-down ripple effects removing a resource out of the system that we don't just feel here in Cameron Park, although we will feel it here in Cameron Park, but they're going to feel it in another district as people become less available because there's one less resource in the system to handle emergency calls. So it's really hard to define on. It's going to be this exact impact with this response time and this kind of thing, but I think it's very easy to articulate that there's going to be a hole in the system that's going to be filled by other people. One less resource in an already taxed system with resources is going to be an impact, not just in Cameron Park, but to Rescue, to Eldorado Hills, to Eldorado County Fire, and the people that live in those fire districts as well.
Okay. All right. That was my only question on that for now. Any other considerations? Obviously, the one status quo. Any other considerations in that then?
No.
for one engine.
Hard thing about considerations, but that, the ask would be obviously if it's feasible, if it's doable. Mm-hmm. I can't stress how much for the system and for Cameron Park too that we keep that engine staffed. For all the reasons we just articulated, it's not just a Cameron Park issue. It affects the citizens and other fire districts that are around here, and it is the citizens. There's impacts on the fire departments themselves because they're more time on the engine and those kind of things. Those impacts are real, so I don't want to discount those. But for me, the real impact is for the taxpayers and the people that call 911 if that mm-hmm. engine is not available. And it's not just the people in North Cameron Park. It's the people in Rescue, the Bass Lake Roadside of El Dorado Hills, Ponderosa side, the Meter Roadside of El Dorado County Fire. They're also going to feel those impacts. So if it's financially feasable, that is obviously the ask, is that we maintain status quo staffing at these two stations.
Let alone just the increased requirement on 89 and the staff there picking up.
89
I mean, just on a very
well.
Basic level for
well. Absolutely. Nope, absolutely. And for that reason was why we talked about if we're going to do one engine here, we're going to staff it with three people each day, not just two, for some of those kind of things where we're already going to, a fire in the middle of Cameron Park with two engines coming that are 2-0 staffed each, we're going to get four people there roughly at the same time. We can affect rescue, do two in, two out, and those kind of things. If we're just coming with one engine, we want the extra person on that engine to better facilitate some of the immediate fire ground operations mm-hmm. and some of those kind of things. So we would definitely want the third body on Engine 89 if we're going to staff a single engine in the district.
And I know I don't know that there's an official number, but part of the conversation, particularly for the board, will be the reason we went to this decision is $500,000 deficit. Where are we at? And it's not written down. It's just the estimate. Where are we at this year in coming in under contract?
So quarters 1, 2, and 3, we are $581,000 under the contract amount.
Okay.
So if we spend the full boat amount in quarter 4, which I don't have a good handle on yet, the grand total would be $581,000 okay. under the contract amount this year. We're only a month or so into the fourth quarter, so I can't.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to spend the full $915,000 in quarter 4. We've never done that before, mm-hmm. but I guess it's possible. So a safe estimate right now would be $581,000 under our contract amount right. this fiscal year.
And we know those are quoted figures. We don't know until we actually get the bill from the state and it's written down and all
yeah,
that. But
we know quarters 1, 2, and 3. Those are done.
Right.
They've been invoiced and all those kinds. So we know what the exact amounts are for the actual amounts for quarters 1, 2, and 3. We just don't know quarter 4 yet.
Okay.
We're still in. We're still spending.
Great.
So.
That's going to be an important piece for the consideration. Yeah. That's all my questions for the moment.
Yeah, so he pretty much took all my questions. But
sorry.
I was wondering, and this is kind of outside your bailiwick, but if losing 88, impacts the community and the surrounding community, we're looking at insurance impact, too.
I'm sure. I can't imagine there wouldn't be insurance impacts to that, but I have a hard time articulating what exactly that would be. And
sure.
That might not necessarily be in a wildland arena, which is really driving insurance costs these days, but certainly in the ISO ratings and those kind of things, I think certainly in that. I don't have a great understanding of ISO, and something that's never been the job I've had, though. So, mm-hmm. Other than to say that I can't imagine there would not be insurance impacts.
Thank you. All right. Opening it to public comment. Is there anybody who wanted to speak on this item? Yes.
Yeah, Vicki Jacobs. The cost for 2425, mm-hmm. what are they?
I can look that up. They're not on the sheet there. It's part of the current agreement, and I can get those for you if you want.
Yeah, because it didn't occur to me until I just assumed 25 times. Realized we had another year in between. So that's part of the, it's in the current
agreement. That's under the current agreement.
And
correct.
It's another not-to-exceed number.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
And it's very similar to the 25, 26 numbers, but it's not the exact same. I can look it up for you if you
okay.
want that.
And this year, okay, so what was the not-to-exceed for this year for the two engines? Approximately?
3.6 was
yeah,
the contract.
Yeah,
3.6
yeah.
and change okay. if, $13,000 is change. But
okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I do have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
So talking, I'm hearing the numbers from CAL FIRE, knowing that we did a one-year extension on our last contract. Is that correct? And are you guys looking to do another one-year extension, or are you looking for a two-year Was there a 2-year done, and now we have a year to give them notice?
Yeah, right. And we'll address questions after everybody's had a chance to speak. Yes.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, no, you go ahead first.
Oh. So, my main comment is this agenda transmittal was, in my personal opinion, considered a professional document. But when I read it, I see some glaring typographical errors, some confusion as to who might be is, although I think I could pretty much predict who that is. I would suggest that before a document is sent out, it's double checked for grammar, formatting, and respectfully, I would call chief officers by their rank rather than a middle initial or a first name, last initial. This is not building confidence in the public, on the board, and the general manager staff. This is an embarrassment, and I'm sorry to have to say that, but that's my period.
Okay, sure. Was yes, go ahead.
So, Paul Gilchrist. And this might require some further explanation from Chief Blankenheim, but I don't understand the last line underneath the 3 years. W, same structure, 1+3, on, engine, plus, bat, chief. I understand that. 2=6. I think I'm deriving, but, and I'm thinking ABC scheduling and so forth, but I'm making some guesses. So if we could get some clarification on the notes there underneath all the numbers, I think that would be beneficial. That's in the agenda. Under 2728, there's a few lines there. So just some clarification to help.
These aren't my notes, but I will take a stab at this and say the option one is 3 people on the engine each day. That's the 3-0 staffing that we talked about.
And it's an ABC schedule?
There's not an ABC schedule, no.
No, that's not what it is.
No, it's... We work 3 on 4 off, so we don't have an A shift, B shift, C shift. It's 3 people on the engine every day and 3 people assigned to every seat, meaning that we have 9 total people assigned to staff the engine with 3 people on it every day.
And then they're off for 4 days.
Then they're off for 4 days.
Correct.
And so that second line there would be 6 people per engine for 2 engines. So 6 people assigned to station 88, 6 people assigned to station 89. So 2 people on the engine every day, but again, 3 people per seat.
Okay.
For a total of 12 operators in the contract. And there'll be a battalion chief. Under either model, there'll be 1 battalion chief to the district.
And then if I might add one more comment. I just, as a layperson, I'm going to relay this. And I hope with that explanation I didn't leave extra time or bust some minutes. But so I've been pretty public about this. I had a heart attack in January of this year. It required quadruple bypass surgery. There was an incident at Cameron Park where the medic unit had already been moved out of Cameron Park. I knew that at the time, and I chose to drive myself to 28. Now, we don't advertise that, but I drove there because I figured it was going to take a while. For the medic unit to arrive. Now, this person had a heart attack on hole number 3. Had the medic unit been in quarters at 89, it would have taken just under 3 minutes to get there. I drove it and tested it. I did a public records request, and thank you, Chief Blankenheim, for having your staff look into it. And the medic unit that was dispatched, now I know there's moving cover situations and stuff that happened, came from station 85. And it took over 15 minutes, and I believe it was almost 19 minutes to get there. There was no way that person was going to survive that. So, and Cameron Park Country Club is looking at how to make things more efficient and better, and that's part of why I got the request. But I think it's good information to have, is that by moving something in the system, or taking something out of the system, has life and death consequences. And so I think that's something to consider, and I'm saying this as a layperson, and it's passionate for me, because I was looking death in the eye. And so having seen this, it's important to me to ensure that something like this is done right. And I believe everybody that responded, first responders, responded and did the best they could in the circumstances that they had. But I always just think when the system has changed, there are consequences. So I'll leave it at that.
Thank you. Was there any other public comment?
Hi, good evening. Maurice Johnson, Fire Chief, El Dorado Hills Fire Department. We absolutely acknowledge that ambulances were changed. We also have to understand that there was some science and there was some data behind that. The fact that an ambulance took a little bit longer to get to a location, that means that the ambulance that would have been here was not available and would not have been available either. So I think that's a very important point to make up, The other thing is, remember, we have a system, and the ambulances cover the entire west slope of our county. And just because it's an ambulance, we have to remember part of our system is operating our fire engines with paramedics. The same exact tools that our firefighter paramedics have on our ambulances, we have those on our engine companies as well. So the engine company is the one that's really going to get there, stabilize the patient, while the ambulance can come from a further location, but you're getting the same level of service.
Thank you. Was there any other public comment?
I have a question about the budget when you're looking at your staffing at three.
I'm sorry. Point of order. You might not be aware, once you have spoken,
can't do it again.
Sorry. And that's okay.
Absolutely. You're welcome to get us after the meeting.
Or you're welcome to whisper your question to somebody else who hasn't spoken yet, and they can ask it for you. That'd be just fine.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, please do.
So, Gina Posey, I am chair of a FireWise community. Closing the station would be extremely catastrophic, actually, to numerous communities. I hear all the time people say, well, we need to get more community folks involved. We need to get them to meetings. And over the course of the past months, there have been times when we've had lots of residents come to these fire meetings, and we think we understand the process. There wasn't enough time to put it on the election to have a fire tax, so that got scrapped. Then we were going to hire Triton, and they were going to evaluate moving fire to either El Dorado Hills or El Dorado. And I don't know where that's at. That seems to be in some quagmire of a cloud somewhere. And now I hear we're looking at potentially keeping Cal Fire, which is the gold standard. We all admit that. They're great service, great people, love to keep them. I'm really confused by what the plan is and what you're executing against. And I think it's very unfortunate that you've had so many residents that have taken the time, have come out. Here we sit. That's my comment.
Thank you. So we will address the Triton contract later in the meeting. As far as the question regarding the duration of the current contract, we actually have a two-year contract, so it's through the end of the next fiscal year. But we do have to give a year's notice is one of the reasons we really need to deal with this now. And you were going to, General Manager, address the document quality?
Yeah, we now have 16 people. We have 7 in administration. We have 2 that do the principal work, myself and Christina. We are putting in 70 hours. We do not have a board clerk because we can't pay enough to retain it. They'd rather be janitors. So, yes, this got out sloppy, but it got out. And it wouldn't have. I even had to go to our lawyer to do the stuff and spend the extra money because we don't have the extra time. What's more important than what I don't like, same way you don't like it, but it's more important that the substantive stuff that's critical to the survivability of this place and its inhabitants get done. And that's what we're getting done. And I, you know, if somebody wants to volunteer to be board secretary, I'd be happy to help. But I cannot pay anybody to do it because they get more money as a janitor. And so they quit. And I can't help that because we don't have the money to pay anymore.
Thank you. Okay, item number 2. Yes.
Well, quick point of order. Sorry. I didn't know if we had closed public comment, if there was any other members of the public to speak.
Yeah, I believe we did, but...
My name is Linda Weeks, and I know we were late. We thought that the fire part of this started at 6 o'clock. That's why we came in late. You are talking about getting rid of the fire department. Is that what you're talking about, the 88?
No.
No.
we are discussing the future of our contract with Cal Fire. And one of the aspects of that is the possible closure of a fire station, but that is not a plan. That's just, at this point, a discussion item.
Because last year it was a plan. You guys were closing. And I wholeheartedly will fight closing that station at any time. I was in the campfire, and I lost everything. So I will definitely fight.
Thank you. I am now closing public comment. And did we have any other...
Yeah, there was another question. I wanted to bring that back just to tie off.
Sure.
There was a question about the costs for the 24-25 contract. Mm-hmm. So per the agenda in June 21st of last year, what was listed there, current year is $3.662 million rounded up. Next year is $3.767 rounded up. So 3.767 would be the 24-25 not to exceed amount. You're very welcome. So you can see that in, and for me in comparison, it's yeah, looking at the agenda and what it would be for the following year, it's right around the same, which is wonderful. It's probably worth just clarifying a couple things. I want to address a couple of statements because I think it's important. One, we talked about insurance, and I really want to make sure that everybody who comes to these meetings approaches this with a clear head. To simply say it will affect our insurance, I think, is a misnomer. And you can nod your heads, but we don't know. Will it likely? Yeah, it probably will. The things that I have read is a 5-mile radius from a station, and almost the entirety of Cameron Park is less than 5 miles from Station 89. That's what the maps show. So in that sense of the fire ratings, it wouldn't change a thing. Hydrants, all the other considerations that I'm aware of, wouldn't change. Now, would insurance companies have some consideration if a fire station closes? Potentially, I don't know. That, all, as we all know, there are people in it with two stations right now losing their insurance. So with two stations, people are losing. I would say it could impact. I want to be hesitant to say it definitely will. And that might be mincing words, but what I want to do is to make sure that we're having these discussions on a real level. So, for instance, the comment about our plan was to close Station 88, that is not true. Our plan was, if we needed to, we would. The biggest consideration was, do we have the money? And we came to that with a $500,000 deficit, and the board made the decision to keep it open because in our general fund, we had the ability to do that for 1 year. And we heard from the public and decided, yes, we need to do this. We use the public funds to keep the station open. That's why we're coming back to the discussion now to address the question again, because it doesn't go away, and our money doesn't get bigger from year to year. We have what we have. The fact that Chief Blankenheim has brought forward what they're coming in under contract this year, I think is really important for the board consideration. Because at some point, we can't just keep it open because we want to. We keep it open because we can. And that's why the second consideration, which is the discussion about the report, which we'll address, and I intended to do that in matters to and from, just to give a brief update on that, is that report is then for the longer-term future of our service. And we're trying to address both at the same time. And I understand, you're right, it can get confusing, particularly if you're not in it all the time. So the two pieces we are addressing right now is our current contract with Cal Fire, recognizing regardless of what might happen later, we are in relationship with them. We need to extend that relationship with them. And so that's what we're addressing with these numbers. The board will be discussing this, I believe, at the next board meeting because it needs to come to the board at least for discussion, if not decision.
I will be requesting at the board meeting that we extend Cal Fire for some period of time.
Okay. So that piece will come up at our next board meeting.
And when is that?
That is a week from tomorrow, so the 22nd, 6:30 p.m. It should be posted that way on the agenda and on the website. And for those of you who had not looked, our normal board meetings are the third Wednesday of each month, in the same manner that we canceled last week's fire meeting to then reschedule a special meeting this week. The normal board meeting that is this week was canceled to reschedule it for next week because we've had to bump these timelines to have these discussions and conversations. So, and I'm sorry, I can't take questions once public comment has been closed, but I'm more than happy to speak. I'm sorry, that's just, we've got to be consistent.
The transparency in all of this.
So,
the public doesn't know that these meetings are happening. And so you get this little turnout, and I'm sorry,
I can't.
I'll leave, but I'm just going
to
say my piece.
No, it's not about leaving. Happy for you to be here. We just have to be consistent with how we treat public comment in this. I apologize.
Okay, social media does wonders.
So, I think that was the only comments I had to say on this, and I encourage you, please do come to the board meeting next week where this will come up for discussion and decision. We need to hear from you on that. So, there you go.
Okay, moving on to the fire department report.
Good afternoon. I'll say good morning again. So looking just at, we'll breeze through the totals, incident totals. So for April 24 compared to March, so 166 for March, 201, an increase 21%. Year over year, so April of last year compared to April of this year, we're down a little bit, down about 32 calls, 13% decrease. And then year-to-date, so January 1 to when this report was written, of 23 and 24, so a decrease of 11%. Looking at our apparatus maintenance, we're at 58,296. A couple small items came up, some tires for vehicles, for fire engines. Rental income remains the same, however, we did just finalize our invoices from Cal OES for about $60,000 for our OES pre-positions that were in January and February this year for the storms. So that should be coming in like the next 2 to 3 months. They're about 60 to 90 days out from paying those. Just a couple noteworthy events. Had a structure fire in Station 88's area off of Western near Boeing in the air park. Kitchen fire, the crews got there and put out pretty quick. Kind of something noteworthy with this, at the exact same time this structure fire happened, there was a medical emergency 4 doors down, just complete coincidence. So the first arriving engine that would have been assigned to the structure fire, which was Engine 88, actually got diverted to the medical emergency, which ended up being a, we call it Code 3 return, which means that the ambulance transported lights and sirens to the hospital, so it was a pretty major event. And then the Engine 89 was able to arrive and handle the structure fire, so they kind of got split. Moving forward, the unit, Amber Road Rally Unit, has secured the old Eschaton at 3421 Palmer Drive, so our Ponderosa Fire Center is there, and they're open and operating. Like Chief Martin mentioned before, there'll be 3 crews on a day, so there'll be between 16 and 18 firefighters with engineer and captain. There's hand crews, there'll be 3 of those every day, responding regionally and locally for wildfire emergencies. And that's all I got for the fire. So, prevention.
I think we're...
Questions?
Yeah, did you have any questions on the fire report?
I don't have any questions. It's just the simple recognition. We're still cycling out from previous data that included ambulance service,
right.
Correct?
So this does... So
that does
I
not...
I was able to have the report. Our... ECC was able to write a new report that omits any ambulance, so this is
actual
apples
to apples.
For apples, correct.
Thank you.
That's
appreciate
why those percentages are a lot tighter now.
That's great. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Okay. I have no questions. Opening it for public comment. Yes.
Yeah, I'd like to, just for awareness, I spoke at the Board of Supervisors meeting this morning. The Greater Cameron Park Area Fire Safe Council has been partnering with Chief Brunton, Chief Martin, Congressman McClintock's office, Bureau of Land Management, mm-hmm. to work on the Pine Hill Preserve Cameron Park Unit, utilizing the Ponderosa fire crews to begin picking up that defensible space that was started 6 years ago, and put a 200-foot perimeter of field break that includes shaded field break. And there'll be a meeting in early June at the BLM with all said parties, and 2 of the Board of Supervisors will most likely be attending as well.
Thank you.
Do you mean 200 feet all the way around us?
Around the Pine Hill Preserve Cameron Park unit, there are 2 sections. If I could, well, I've got a map. I can pull it up my laptop and show it, but it's along Sudbury, all the way along Sudbury. Kind of parallels 50 a little bit. Then there's a section that's all by its lonesome off of Many Oaks Lane. You go all the way, when you turn and go up Meter, where Sudbury comes into Meter, it crosses Meter at that point, goes up towards Rasmussen Park, then goes up behind, it stops. It goes up by the pond. The pond that's up there that they want to develop.
Rasmussen.
Oh, Rasmussen, thank you. And then it also goes up past Eastwood Park and in that side and then runs back down. Kind of parallel to Sudbury, if you will, along the straight line. So I've got a map I can provide you if you'd like.
I got it.
Thank you. Was there any other public comment about the fire report? Yes, go ahead.
Frederick Mullen, Cameron Park. So based upon that event, if 88 was shut down, 89 would have been diverted to the medical call, and that house would have burned. So keep that in mind, that closing 88 is going to not allow people to live if they need help, and houses are going to burn. And also, ISO will be affected by insurance premiums. Or insurance premiums will be affected by ISO, which will be affected by closure of India. That's a known fact. So.
Thank you. Was there any other public comment? Coming back to the board, anything else on the fire department report?
None from me, thanks.
Okay, fire prevention report.
All right. So we have our monthly totals, inspection, arrest, violations, corrections. So working collaboratively with our partners, our other allied agencies, we like to foster those relationships and work together. We've identified some fire hydrants throughout the community that have some clearance issues in the with vegetation in the DOT easement. So DOT, EID, and Cameron Park Fire, we're trying to collaborate and come up with a plan. Employing our Ponderosa Fire Center crews next week, we will be driving through the district and taking care of any fire apparatus access, so all of our roads, making sure we have clearances on roads, blind corners, and then all of our hydrant clearing, make sure all the hydrants are clear of vegetation and there's access for our folks to get in there and make hydrant connections in the event of a fire. And then working with them, DOT identifies, you know, some areas that have, you know, stop signs that are overgrown, blind corners, and then that easement's 10 feet. On both sides, so kind of helping out with some of that fire apparatus access and clearance. So that's scheduled for next week. We have selected and hired a defensible space inspector, was onboarded last week. She went through her one-week training with the Cal Fire Defensible Space Inspectors working in the SRA areas off of Sudbury and some of our target hazard areas. She has started this week with defensible space inspections throughout the community. So see her out in one of our utilities. And then we reviewed and approved the aerial pyrotechnic display or the fireworks permit for the Summer Spectacular. And so that's approved. The vendor has that permit issued. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Were there any questions?
No.
Okay. So I know we're working with a vendor, and I know we're working with new software. How's that going?
So I actually did a kickoff meeting last week with First Due. A lot of information they needed. So going through a lot of spreadsheets, a lot of SharePoint files. They want to know, you know, district boundaries, all of the addresses for commercial buildings, occupancy classifications, all of our employee information, logins, passwords, all the software training. I have a meeting next week with the fire marshal specialist that's going to integrate all of our codes into the software program because it's a national program, so they need to take specific ordinances and then our base California Fire Code, and then all the 4290, 4291 Cal Fire, Title 14 stuff gets put in there. That way all of those codes are populated in that, so when we do the inspections, we're able to select which codes and produce those reports. So we're looking at probably a 60 to 90 day to get that up and running and all of our folks trained on it. It'd be similar to like a PCR program or patient care report program for paramedics. There's a kind of a ramp up and a lot of back end information through CAD that has to be integrated in, but once that's going, it should be very helpful.
Thank you.
And I have one more update.
Okay.
So we are working with the CSD on finalizing a renewal for HearWest Consulting. We've had a partnership with them for 9 years. Mm-hmm. Very great partnership. We talked before that they didn't have the bandwidth to capture our state-mandated inspections, so we opted to use CSG with a trial run. That trial run is coming to an end, and once we get that contract renewed with InterWest, we'll be pivoting to using InterWest as the sole kind of contractor that we still use for some of our sprinkler engineering plan reviews, some of those technical stuff, but they have the employee base and the bandwidth to be able to support us in those state-mandated inspections, so I'm looking forward to that as well. Mm-hmm. And we'll get an update once CSD and Kness finalize that contract.
Okay, thank you. I'm opening it for public comment. Did we have any comment about the fire prevention report?
I'm curious to know for the inspections how the quality in has done this year, considering how they had a lot of challenges in the years past. And second, the defensible space easement on each side of Cameron Park Drive, is that 10 feet on each side? And if so, is there a plan to make that road cleaner from defensible space?
Yeah, great question. So if you want, you could submit a PRA and I can get you a copy of the report. I can't give out that information publicly. You can talk to me afterwards and I can walk you through that. I will say there is improvements to a majority of our state-mandated facilities just to the fact that we're annually inspecting them every year. So there are improvements. As far as the road easement on Cameron Park Drive, so the road easement is DOT-owned property. Cameron Park Drive is kind of a particular one because if we're not going to do work on Cameron Park Drive because it requires a massive amount of surveying and road closures and signage and a lot of support staff from DOT. We can't just go cut on Cameron Park Drive with fire engines. It has to be, DOT has to set all of that, you know, traffic study stuff, and they're the ones that dictate. So for us, it's going to be all of the residential neighborhoods that don't require two-way control or any of the signage. Because we don't have the signs. We have a couple firefighters with slow signs, but that's not going to work on our major thoroughfare like Cameron Park Drive.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment regarding fire prevention? Bring you back to the board. Any comments?
No, this was all good.
Okay, thank you. So we're going to move on to items for June and future committee agendas, I think starting perhaps with the status of the Triton report.
Well, I don't know that that's a future committee agenda item. I can do that under...
Items to take to the board?
Or under matters to and from. I'll do that under matters to and from.
Okay, all right, sorry. So have any future agenda items then?
Just keeping some things on the radar from previous discussions. I want to continue keeping the grants discussion in front of us. I know we've got other focuses right now, and that's fine. But from my recollection of my notes, the Assistance to Firefighters grant opens up again in the fall of this year. So I want to make sure that we're preemptive on that. As well as looking for the CCI grant for potentially next year for our weed abatement mitigation. We had talked about potentially there being a grant writer somewhere in the budget to help with those things. I don't know that we can, but I'm just putting that out there, or if it's a flat fee based on what they get. Let's see, the other pieces. And at some point, again, not a priority, but to get an update on the Type 3 engine, where that's at in the process. I don't anticipate that it's anywhere other than waiting, based on how long these are taking now. But good to remember that we're actually in contract for that and keep that in view. And I think that was it for my notes for the moment.
Can I ask you a question on what you just said about?
Sure.
I'm curious, you know, the county has that huge OWAPA organization now, filled with resources from a wide variety of organizations. Is there nothing they can do to help you on the grant writing front? Because I know they write a lot of grants. Have you tried to see if they could give you assistance in some way?
That's something we'll have to have staff look into, not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
All right. Yes.
I asked OES because OES said that they would help me.
Okay.
I gave them a list. They were supposed to give me a list
Okay, so items to bring to the Board of Supervisors?
Board of Directors?
Directors, good, yeah, wrong word.
No, that's okay. I believe we're taking the CAL FIRE contract extension discussion forward.
Yes.
To the board.
Yes.
Okay.
And we're taking that next week then?
Yes.
Okay.
That was the only thing that I was aware of.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so I have nothing in addition to that. Matters to and from committee members. The Triton contract.
The simple update is we are anticipating the report to be completed this month. We are aiming for a release date of May 25th. We had hoped to have that for our next board meeting. It doesn't look like we're going to be able to, but we are going to release it as soon as we can. May 25th is the target date. And with that, aiming to schedule a workshop tentatively, pay attention, on June 12th. That gives the community time to read and ask questions. That gives staff time to prepare and the board time, along with the community, to read recommendations and information, so that on the 12th we will have our first workshop. The idea being that's not the only conversation. The workshop's purpose would simply be to bring the information forward. Don Ashton has been our consultant. He would also help facilitate that meeting for questions and discussion. And then the community can ask questions, give input. The board would be making a decision regarding that at a later meeting, likely a regularly scheduled board meeting. The reminder in that is June is also our budget month. So we will sometimes have two meetings in June. Hopefully we don't have to. But we also have to do our preliminary budget before June 30th. So there's a lot stacking up in June. Just be aware that our staff is working really hard to put all of that out. At the same time, we're working on a contract extension, balancing the budget, looking at a report. And I will acknowledge this has taken longer than any of us had hoped. I'm very grateful we will be coming to the end of this, at least this stage, very soon.
It will be released on the website, and there will be a provision on the website. Once you've read it, if you have a list of questions, please submit them. We're going to collate them and try and have answers before or at the workshop, or use the questions to shape the presentation, part of the presentation of the workshop. But you'll be able to put questions as they occur to you in through the website, and we will have that.
And related to that, the ad hoc committee continues to work to connect with community agencies and people and organizations. We're still in process to try and talk with the fire committee at the county level. They had waited for a letter from us with some information, which they now have. So we're waiting to talk, schedule a time to talk with them.
They wanted the report out first.
Okay.
And they said they would talk to
them. Okay. So they're just waiting on that too then. That's my to and from.
Okay. We don't usually open this to public, but...
But you haven't answered your question.
What was the question?
Have you received the report? Has the board in possession of a draft version of the report?
The board is not given a draft, because once it goes to the board, it has to go to the public. The committee... So let me clarify that. The committee, yes. The committee has looked at draft version of the report.
Okay.
And that's part of the work that's going on now, is revision and corrections and all of that, so that what comes out is good. Okay. Sorry if I didn't understand your question.
No worries.
But no, once it goes to the board, it's got to go to the public. So no, the board has not seen it yet.
Okay.
The whole board will see it when the public does.
Okay.
All right. If there is nothing else, I'm looking for a motion to adjourn.
You're looking at me.
I am looking at you.
I move that we adjourn.
I second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned at 6:32 p.m.
Thank you.